And now the Patriots will run their first play in the red zone. The first one for the game on either side from the two. First and goal. Running it for the touchdown. Sony Michel.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
There you heard it, the climactic finish.
Great.
Of the last meaningful football game played of the 2018 season. Yes, it happened in the calendar year 2019. If you dropped off from the DDFP and from Football Talk, welcome back to the DDFP. And if you've been with us through the offseason, a.k.a. the DDFP season where we really shine, thanks for sticking with us. We sincerely appreciate it. And welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program presented by the Amazon original, The Boys. Check it out on Prime Video starting on Friday, the 25th of July. Is that right, Spaghetti?
Today's the 26th.
At Friday, the time 26th. Of this recording.
Yes,
and so, yeah, make sure you check that out. Superhero reimagined. Seth Rogen and company put it together. It's what if superpowers were given to people that didn't use them for the overall good of humanity, rather they used it for their own purposes. That's what The Boys is about. Looking forward to checking that out. Also looking forward to kibitzing about football, and more football. We've done a lot of talk about the game of life over the last several months. A great thanks to most recently Joe Manganiello, who joined us, a big time star of cinema and TV himself, and we kibitzed with him about all manner of subjects. And in fact, we had a banner run in the off season. Like I say again, the DDFP season, that's where we shine. Yeah, it's easy to talk. It's great pleasure to talk about football, but a lot of people can do that. We love the off season as well, talking about all manner of stuff and all manner of people. We talk to comedians, we talk to actors, we talk to football guys, we talk to people beyond the realm of sports, and had a great time doing it. We appreciate everybody who stuck with us. But now, like I say, it is football season.
It is.
And it's time to start kibitzing, and who better to do it with than the man seated to my immediate left. You watch him on Total Access. You hear him on Sirius Radio on the NFL channel. It's Cole Wright. What's happening, fella? How was summer vacation?
Excellent. Can't say a few, not too many bad things about summer vacation. At least, you know, it's as far as downtime. You know, I wish I had a little less, but, you know, I always like to stay busy. That's one thing I like to do. I don't know about you.
Well, you say downtime. I like to imagine sometimes when radical things, and then, you know, when you're lucid in the day-to-day, they tend to get away from you in our news cycle, the fast move, the way it moves so quickly. But imagine if you've been in a coma from the moment that Michelle scores that touchdown to the confetti drops in Atlanta. Imagine if you fell into a coma in that moment and just woke up right now. What would be the most stunning thing that you would learn about pro football?
Oh, wow.
I was going to say
maybe that Lev Bell's on the Jets. I mean, if you're sitting there thinking about that, maybe OBJ to the Browns, I think that'd be pretty alarming, if you're, especially if you were a Giants fan like Eddie Spaghetti over there. If you fell into the coma on Super Bowl Sunday and just woke up, I think it would almost be, I wouldn't say it'd be like a bad dream, but if you're Eddie Spaghetti, maybe it would be.
Well, I mean,
borderlining on nightmare.
I think the nightmare more for him was in the moment, and it's fascinating that now it's already kind of turned a corner and it's moving fast. Talk about a storyline that is changing fast there in New York for Giants fans. Is it seems pretty clear. Eddie Spaghetti, I was with him on draft night,
Jones. Yeah, I remember that
when they announced Daniel Jones. He bleated something. I don't even know what it was, but it was inhuman, and it was filled with sorrow and frustration. But now Daniel Jones is emerging. We talked to Evan Engram a couple of weeks ago, and Engram, I keep saying it, he is the X factor of that Giants team. I think they can be relevant in that division. As good as it is, the Eagles look loaded, and the Cowboys look like they're going to be tough to beat. And by the way, I don't even think the Skins are in bad shape. The Trent Williams news is not good for them at left tackle, especially since they're planning on using Eric Flowers to stop the gap until Trent Williams gets in. But the offensive line could be a position of strength. The defense is very good. And if they roll with Dwayne Haskins, with the bangers they have behind him and Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson, I think they could be halfway decent too. As I always say, if you're just back with us after the long off season, one recurring theme for me here in 2019 is whether or not you like parity. The reality is it's way harder to identify the teams that are definitely going to be terrible this year than the teams that aren't going to be good. Did I just say that right? I confuse myself when I say that. But you can make a case for almost any team in the NFL. And here's the minimum standard. Who's going to be terrible, Cole, right? Who's definitely not going to be good this in 2019?
The Lions.
I say, I don't think
the
that's...
The Lions aren't going to be good. I'm sorry, Detroit fans. I mean, there's...
Why do you feel that way?
They're the Lions.
Because, and you also have an NFC North kind of a thing going.
Not necessarily. I just don't think that. I mean, I feel like that the Vikings and the Packers are going to throw their hats in there and they're going to challenge the Bears.
I think the Vikings are
going to
be really good. I think the Vikings are going to be real, real good.
And I just don't think the Lions are really going to be up to snuff when it comes to the
With Gary Kubiak running that offense, and if Dalvin Cook is all right and ready to go, he was inconsistent at best last year coming back. Yeah, coming back from the injury and everything wasn't great, but he can make that offense. He can give it a different dimension. And the defense should be good. So if they can keep Kirk Cousins clean, I think that they're a lot better off in his second go around up in Minnesota. But like you say, the Bears should be dynamite, the Packers, and it proves my point. It's hard to say who's definitely going to be bad. And I don't think Matt Patricia, yes, as much as the coaching tree of Bill Belichick has borne very little, if any, fruit over the last decade, I kind of like the way things are building there in Detroit. But like you say, I mean, that's a really brutal division to try and, you know, to even get 500 to get 500 within those six games that you're going to be playing.
I just think my biggest thing with Matt Patricia is the fact that, you know, he's so pro pencil, but he's got a laminated play sheet. What's he writing on with that pencil? What's he doing with that pencil? It's just for show. I mean,
interesting question.
I mean, are you really going to hitch your trailer to a guy who's that committed to something that's just for show?
It's a great point.
It's like
someone
that puts a feather in their hat. Like, really? It's just a figure of speech. You don't really need to put a feather in your cap. Be strange. But imagine if I had a feather sticking out of this baseball cap, Dave. You'd look at me like I was an odd bird.
Or would I look at you as a trailblazer? You know? I would like to see you do that. But before I forget, I want to make mention of the fact that also because of Amazon and the boys, we're going to be doing video shows every Thursday all the way through the month of August. Isn't that right, Eddie Spaghetti?
We have one this week and we have one next week. And then we say goodbye to the boys and then we start up with a new sponsorship.
Okay, good. So looking forward to that. Video shows coming at you every Thursday through the preseason and all the way through at least the regular season.
Yes.
Or is it through the postseason too?
Definitely the regular season.
We'll figure all that out.
We are sponsored.
Spaghetti, yes. Lay it on me. So you just wake up from a coma. What's the big storyline?
I think it's definitely Odell. I think the Gronk, you can kind of see with the injuries the last few years that he could retire. Lev Bell, I mean, running backs, I guess, he was disgruntled a bit as well earlier on. I think Odell was one of those few guys in the league that you thought in your head was, like, untradeable. Like, the franchise play, you never move him, even though in today's age, free agency and stuff. But I feel like he was never going to be wearing another uniform beside, like, unless he was, like, 35 years old and wants to, like, one last shot. But I that, to me, would be the real shock.
I mean, listen, the biggest, the ongoing crazy melodrama that was the Antonio Brown departure from Pittsburgh, to me, that takes the cake, especially when you add in the fact that now the Oakland Raiders, when last we saw them in 2018, they were scuffling at best. Now, it's not just Antonio Brown. It's all, and by the way, the whole storyline, the fallout from it, the bad mouthing of Roethlisberger, the fact that the Steelers got basically zero for Antonio Brown, and now the Raiders also have Vontaze Burfict, who literally knocked Antonio Brown out on a football field a couple of years ago, and they have Richie Incognito. The chemistry there of that situation, well, thank goodness it's led us to Hard Knocks. I guess that's I think that's got to be your win. I think that's the biggest story of the offseason.
It could be fantastic. It could be volatile, or could be fantastically volatile.
But again, you know what? With the draft that they had, if those guys hit for them, I can make a case that the Raiders can be relevant in 2019.
I'll tell you one guy who's probably going to steal the show on Hard Knocks is Jonathan Abram.
You do think so? Why? You've kibitzed with him and they're struck by him?
He was in the makeup room. Mm-hmm. And MJD was in the makeup room, and he was just sitting there getting his makeup. And at one point, he's like, hey, man, but for real? Like, if I played against you, I would have smashed you.
I was
sitting there. I'm just like, was there a prior conversation to that? And MJD's like, nah, man, that's just where it came from. And he's a confident dude. I'm like, whoa. I'm like,
in a way,
wow,
somehow
really
Maurice
happened.
Likes that. I bet Maurice
he
liked
does.
That
he
kind
does.
Of talk.
I mean, he's a smack talker number one, and mm-hmm. you know he's also a fine hater. He hates at a championship level.
Yeah, you too. So are you.
What?
You do the same thing. What I hate.
Don't believe that for a second.
I love talking most game of life issues. I love talking pro football with you, Cole Wright. But what I hate are your movie and TV opinions. They're very poor.
I just got done watching Breaking Bad, though. Fantastic. Probably the best series I've ever seen.
Ooh, okay.
Probably the best series I've ever seen.
You got that one right. That is one of the best series ever.
Except for the Fly episode.
But I forgot who did that one. But they did it on purpose to like make it.
Michael Imperioli, Christopher Moltisanti.
He did that.
Remember when he would write episodes of The Sopranos?
Right.
You always knew it was him because you'd be like,
"Well, I was going
to
say
like halfway through, it's like, hey, sorry, Spider.
Speaking
like,
of
someone
the Sopranos,
needs to shoot him in the foot.
The episodes where Tony has the dream sequences, that was supposed to be like their version of the Fly episode. It was supposed to be like a weird, like just the two main characters talking, no other outside. I don't get the point of it. But
I don't need that.
Yeah,
I didn't need it.
It was boring.
Yeah.
Hey, I have something I want to jump into here that. Will be a little bit of fun with the 100th year of the NFL upon us now. It's fun to indulge some history with the present day and vice versa here. And by the way, they're also right in the middle on NFL Network with NFL Films mm-hmm. presenting. We're in the midst of the 100 best players in pro football right now. I'm doing a little something like we did last year with films and each day look on social media. I'm kind of evaluating the process as we go along there.
Quite a tumble for Carson Wentz from year to year.
And it's
from
weird.
Three into the 90s, 96, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
yikes.
I mean, where should he have been rated? Well, I there's been a lot of pushback on
three?
He should have been higher up. But what
should he have ever been rated number three? I mean, he was ahead of Drew Brees.
Well, I mean, he would have been the MVP. That was so, I mean, but then as we've talked about a lot, one of our storylines of this offseason is the pressure that Carson Wentz has on him going into 2019. But security of the long-term contract perhaps mitigates that a little bit.
Sure.
But anyhow, before we jump in on a little 100th year talk here, I wanted to, there was some social media activity late Wednesday night. Eddie Spaghetti lamenting the fact that he is now a fat. And you know what?
I've been good lately, though.
I'd like to talk to him about it.
It's a tribe. Like he's a member of the fat now.
I had a bad stretch.
I'm not going to lie to myself.
My family visited, but now I've been very, very strict.
Indulged a little bit.
Yes, the man in the mirror. The man in the mirror is the opposite of an enabler for me. The man in the mirror told me a story that I didn't want to hear this morning, but I had to accept. I also am a fat.
What?
I'm a fat. That's all. I mean, I'm not happy about.
I don't know if I buy this.
Don't you be an enabler, Cole, right?
Come on.
But Spaghetti was worried about, you know, how to shed some pounds. And then you jumped in with what? What was your suggestion?
It's if you can't get to the gym,
right.
It's the workout that it'll never fail you.
Okay, go ahead.
As
what is it
as
now?
As long as you have a jump rope.
Lay it on me. I want to make
sure. Have a jump
okay,
rope.
Jump rope.
Okay, 2,000 jump ropes.
Okay, 2,000 jump ropes.
Okay, you got to count. You have to be diligent.
Okay.
When you're listening to your music, you can't just start singing a tune.
Okay, one, I'm not
sure
coordinated enough to jump rope.
Yeah, I can't do. I can't do a full revolution.
2,000 revolutions. Okay,
2,000 jump ropes.
Go on.
You can up the ante if you feel like getting a little more cardio in.
I don't. I won't feel like it. But okay,
2,000 jump ropes. We're gonna do 100 push-ups.
Okay.
100 push-ups.
Okay. That'll take me around about a week.
100 squats.
Okay.
I can do both.
And 300 push-ups or 300 sit-ups.
That's all right.
And what's my window to
crunches.
And I do this over the course
24
of
24 minutes.
It's
very, very doable.
See, now that's what I saw. That's what caught my eye was the 24 minutes. You say that here's a nice simple workout for you, Eddie Spaghetti, or anyone listening right now. The Cole Wright
half an hour then. I think you could get Cole it under 24
in,
minutes.
Cole Wright says in 24 minutes, what you should do is do 2,000 revolutions, right, of a jumping rope.
Which should take you 12 to 15 minutes.
100 push-ups, 100 squats, and 300 sit-ups.
Yes.
You know what that equals to me when you add all those things up? That is a humble brag disguised as counsel of how to work out. What a humble brag. Who could ever do that? Who could do that much?
No,
you think you could do that, Spaghetti?
I could do the 100, 100, 300. I literally just don't know how to jump rope.
In 24 minutes you could do those things?
I'm not as bad as you think I am. I could do
well, then
it.
How
it's
are
not,
you?
I guarantee you there are guys that work here that played in the league who could do it in under 20 minutes.
They're professional athletes. Why would a schnook like me or a fat like Spaghetti be able to do that?
If you want to drop down and be the best you, wouldn't you want to work out like a professional athlete?
Sure.
Why not?
Because that's implausible. That's the equivalent of like, oh, you want to be a quarterback? Yeah, just go out there and just
train
throw
like
the ball.
One.
Throw the ball 70 yards. I mean, then if you do that, you'll make it to the NFL. What? That's an unrealistic goal.
MJD one day told me about a workout. He said, okay, do 100 chin-ups, which I knew there's no way you're going to be able
100
to do that.
Chin-ups?
Yeah, and then he said, I think 100 push-ups and 100 squats in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even come close. I think maybe I got to like, you know,
Maurice Jones-Drew can do that. 2019, Maurice.
This is when we first met at the network here. So this was 2015. So
I don't know about
it. Maurice, have you seen his new workouts that he's been posting sometimes?
He's looking a little leaner. I saw him in the hallway yesterday.
Yeah,
looks
so
a little
I signed us up, Dave. Me and you have to. I saw Maurice, and he was talking to me about fitness. And I said, "Well, me and Dave want to do a video with you." And he's like, "Sure, we'll do it." So I already signed you up without your consent. Well,
We should do a time lapse video of that workout right there.
So as long as you can see the sun through the window and watch it like on one of those time lapse,
you just
watch the sun coming.
Dial.
Down and up. Yeah, I mean, that legitimately would take me
a giant hourglass.
All right, let's talk some pro football, shall we? And let's start with one of the big stories going down here. Lev Bell, who showed up to training camp on Wednesday or Thursday, I guess, with the Jets in their new uniforms. Looking pretty good, those uniforms are. Lev Bell walked in with a basketball, not a football. That's how long he's been away. He doesn't even know what ball is appropriate for football anymore. But he is, in fact, for better or worse, proven to be a trailblazer. He said he wanted to set a new market, a new standard for running backs. He didn't exactly do that where he's concerned because he ended up making less money than he would have to just sign a deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he'll never make up the $15 million that he didn't collect in 2018. However, there are some big-name guys that seem to be trying to follow that lead, prominent among them, Zeke Elliott. Is this a smart move for him to pull this? And same thing goes for Melvin Gordon, both of whom are key pieces for their teams in 2019.
Quick update with Zeke. Today, the team plane for the Cowboys took off to go to Oxnard. He did not get on the plane. That just broke.
Do you like the wisdom of this? Has 26 achieved what he dreamt of to the extent that at least now high-end running backs who there doesn't seem to be a huge market for him based on what happened with Le'Veon Bell this offseason. Is Zeke making a mistake? Is Melvin Gordon making a mistake? Or are their teams making a mistake by not seeing to it that they're in camp ASAP?
I think it could be a combination of all those circumstances. I think when you're a running back and you say, okay, I know my worth, I know my value, like Le'Veon Bell, I'm going to sit out. It worked for him. What do I say? 85%?
Didn't work out, but that's rearview mirror stuff.
The situation that he was in, I'm sure he wasn't the biggest fan of it. I'm sure there's a little more meat on the bone of that subject.
Well, talk about Maurice Jones-Drew. We had it covered all the way through, beat for beat, week for week. Yeah. A lot of it had to do with Le'Veon Bell felt raw about the usage he was getting at the hands of Mike Tomlin and company, especially a couple of years ago, the season that ended with the Steelers losing up in Foxborough in the AFC title game. The preceding week, he did not like the usage he got in that freezing rain with a bad groin, and the Steelers staff told him he was good to go. I think he felt wrong by that, and I don't know how in 21st century how much this verifies what I'm saying, but when I said that on Twitter, Le'Veon Bell hit that little star and agreed with it. So I don't know if that means anything.
Wow.
If that proves anything, but
is that a humble
does.
Is that a humble brag from you saying that Le'Veon Bell's favorite in your tweets? I mean,
you know, listen, when you know, what Damashek says in pro football gets ink.
It does.
That's right. I mean,
you're a favorite and like machine.
Who's more doomed though? With if one or these guys do anything close to Le'Veon Bell, are the Cowboys' chances in the NFC East zero if Zeke Elliott is down? I kind of feel like they are kind of doomed.
Well, you know, they're my dark, not even dark horse. They're one of my teams to watch out for.
I don't think they count as a dark horse.
They're the Cowboys.
They're a dark horse.
Yeah. I mean, he's won the division two out of the last 3 years. So, I mean, if he can do it three out of the last four, I think that they're going to be a problem. Because everyone's talking about all these different pieces of the puzzle, but I think a lot of people are forgetting, oh, Jason Witten's back.
I think you can forget that. You know what? I don't know if this counts as a hot take. I'll be surprised if he makes the team.
What?
He's an old man who sat out an entire
season. I bet you
season.
Jason Witten could do 2,000 jump ropes, 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups.
A supreme athlete in Le'Veon Bell sits out a year and can come back, perhaps even with fresh
legs. So you don't think
legs.
Jason Witten's a supreme athlete?
I think Jason Witten at this stage in his life, sitting up in a broadcast booth for a year.
You don't think that maybe freshened him up a little bit?
Not especially. He's been around for a long time.
Okay, Randall Cobb also on the Cowboys. I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about that.
I like that. The biggest move that they made, in my opinion, is changing OCs and getting in the 21st century.
Yeah, Kellen
Moore. I think that is going to make a big difference. One thing I keep saying is, and I refer you back to, I think it was week two or week three, down in Dallas, when the Giants went down there, they ran a lot of RPO with Dak. I don't know why they ever got away from that after you see the evidence of what he can do. Mm-hmm. That is a scary proposition when you have a humongous human being and Dak Prescott working at that with the threat of him running at the edge and if not giving it to Zeke. If you don't have Zeke, though, the banger to hand the ball off to, I think that offense is limited. And I don't necessarily think Amari Cooper is the savior there in terms of pass catching, although he did splash in some games.
I don't know. A full season in Dallas, I think Amari Cooper's going to be pretty good.
To me, it's that defense that nobody's talking about. The defense is strong. They do need a better nickname. Can you provide them with one?
Like that? The
Hot Boys? I've talked to Tank Lawrence about that. Another humble brag. But yes, that's not a good nickname.
Did you tell him that you weren't a fan of the nickname?
They could do better.
What did he say?
They could do better.
Did he throw out any alternative nicknames?
He had, what was the nickname that he gave to Zeke Elliott, as a matter of fact, Spaghetti? Do you remember? It was, it wasn't Snacks. It was Crumbs. Crumbs, because he likes to eat so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Crumbs Elliott. Well, Crumbs is not what Zeke wants. He wants more money.
Now, that's a terrible nickname. Crumbs.
I do not think that Eckler and Justin Jackson, maybe if he splashed in limited opportunity for the Chargers late in 2018. I don't know that between those two you can survive without Melvin Gordon back there playing like
I feel it's
like
almost,
he did.
Almost the same situation. The Cowboys can only go as far as Zeke is going to take you. I mean, I know there's auxiliary pieces of the puzzle, but he is that centerpiece.
He's the Jenga piece.
It's
absolutely
a funny.
He's the biggest one in the NFL, I think.
Melvin Gordon is?
No.
Zeke.
Oh, yeah. Zeke. I'm sorry. Yeah, right. It really can be disruptive, and it's to both those teams' chances, and it's also a paradox because we've established now that you don't have to have, or at least that's the prevailing wisdom right now, is that you don't have to have a highly paid superstar running back.
What was the last team that won a Super Bowl that had that guy?
I also was just arguing about this with some Patriots fans, ironically, that Sonny Michel is what won them that Super Bowl last year and drafting them, and these Patriots fans were bemoaning that's what I said, listen, first of all, Patriots fans, and this goes to anybody who's a perennial winner, you don't get to complain at all. If you're the reigning champ of any sport, you don't get to bellyache about what's going down. And so shame on you if you're bellyaching about Sonny Michel or any other issue.
Because they never complain out there off of Interstate 95 about things that are going on when they're winning.
Well, I mean,
that's all they do. That's all they do in Boston. In that area is complain. I used to work there. They complain about everything.
But anyway, yeah, I think that was the difference for them coming down the stretch. Clearly, you could see that when after Thanksgiving passed in 2018, they just committed to that was Sonny Michel's offense. That was not about Tom Brady. That was about and a big part of it was Rob Gronkowski. So a major absence going forward there. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if both those guys wind up in there because there's not a great incentive except for the not small matter of making a playoff push,
yeah.
there isn't a ton of, as an organization, to paying these guys out the kind of loot that they're looking for. So it'll be see who breaks first, if it's the runners or if it's the two organizations that really need them.
They'll find something to complain about again.
Well, both,
of course.
L.A. Chargers fans surely will, too. Hey, let's fix the Cowboys. And, in fact, all the NFC. Something that we floated in the summertime there. Spaghetti, I guess we're still properly into summertime, but training camp is underway. So it's high time we did this. Somebody reminded me of this on Twitter a week or two ago. And it is, let's have some fun in honor of the 100th year
okay.
here. And let's try and enhance the 2019 rosters. Let's start with the NFC today, shall we, Cole?
Let's
right,
go.
You're a Bears guy. There's
sure.
a Giants fans. We're talking Cowboys. Let's go in on the NFC teams 2019 as presently constituted. I want us to plug in one player from history that will make that team better. And it beginner level stuff is to plug in a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if we're talking Miami Dolphins, Dan Marino is an easy answer.
Sure.
And if you're talking about the 2019 Broncos or any edition of the Broncos, John Elway is an easy answer. Hall of Fame guys are easy to throw out. So we can do that. But then let's raise the standard. Non-Hall of Famer, but they must have been in the organization at some point. Let's start with the aforementioned America's team there, the Dallas Cowboys. Cole Wright, who would be a great add to that team. I mean, well, without Zeke Elliott, the easy one is Tony Dorsett.
Yeah. I mean, Emmitt Smith would be the layup, obviously. That's
Well, Tony Dorsett was better than Emmitt Smith, but okay. I hear you.
This topic is going to go on a tangent now.
Oh, okay.
You
have allotted 15 minutes for tangents.
I knew it was going to come up. So
okay, that's fine. But I mean, that that's empirically true. You watched them both play, didn't you?
Okay.
TD is a superior back overall. But okay. I mean, there's something to the banging style of Emmitt that would suit this team.
Maybe we see him on Sundays, man. He's calling games. He's a dapper guy. Maybe a little Moose Johnson accent.
Moose Johnson.
I don't know, man.
I don't think he's in the Hall, but okay.
That's the one that's not in the Hall. You don't have to be a Hall of Fame.
That's interesting.
Player.
The guy that would make him. Well, first of all, Michael Irvin.
Alvin Harper.
Alvin Harper. Well, okay. So now you're doing the non Hall of Fame.
Yeah, why not?
Michael Irvin would make that offense sing if you had Amari Cooper.
You think?
And then you had
T.O.
Yeah,
T.O. is a fun name to throw out there. How about, you know what?
He's going to be working out in his front yard. Maybe he's going to be doing some squats and push-ups, sit-ups,
How
and
can
jump
we
up.
Have this conversation? I like Dak better than I think the
Romo?
Collective kind of ranks him. But Romo, I would say Roger Staubach. How about Troy Aikman, for that matter? But I like Roger Staubach being pulled from the late 70s and bringing him into the modern day. He would thrive in the game today with his ability to move around.
Absolutely.
So is this more about filling a hole or upgrading a position?
Well, that's why the Hall of Fame is so easy. You can name almost any Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's going to make your team better than no matter who you have.
The Cowboys have multiple. I would say Deion Sanders. I would try to upgrade a position they're not great at, or maybe Roy Williams at safety, make their secondary better. I just try to plug where there's a gap, make it a little better.
Randy White would.
Yeah.
That's not a bad answer.
Pride of Texas A&M. Hold on now.
That's not a bad answer for the 2019 Cowboys.
He's there during the dynasty.
Okay, we haven't named, although you threw out Alvin Harper. Here's one. Jay Novacek. That would be a great add as a non-Hall of Famer to that Cowboys offense. Next, let's go with the Eagles. I think that we could go with a guy like, it's funny with them, Brian Dawkins. Talk about plug a guy in who has a gold jacket that is at a position in need. I think that would fix perhaps the one question mark that we have about the 2019 Eagles, if you could plug that Hall of Famer in there.
Oh, I'm the non Hall of Fame.
Okay, go ahead.
That's where I'm going. I'm going Randall Cunningham, as Carson Wentz's backup, or would Carson Wentz back up Randall in case something?
Ooh,
gets
that's a good question. That's a fun question.
How many times did Randall Cunningham get hurt and miss significant parts of a season?
I'm motioning to Eddie as a researcher.
I think.
That's a fun question. Who's better? They've had about the same level of postseason success. That's the bugaboo right now. Carson Wentz has a chance to change that narrative. Or Donovan McNabb. That's
if
a
I need to
one.
Win a game right now, and someone said, "Who are you gonna? Who you? If you have to, as an Eagles fan, if you need a quarterback to win you a game and get you to the Super Bowl, who's it going to be? Donovan McNabb or Carson Wentz? I'm going D. McNabb.
Nick Foles is the correct that's answer
not, that's
to
not,
that.
That's not the
proven.
Answer. That's not on the answer key.
Okay.
Nick Foles is on the other side, not on the Scantron. It's A or B.
I'm going to show him that my glass is half full, and I'm going to go. So McNabb or Cunningham?
No. McNabb or Wentz?
I'm going to go glass half full, and I'm going to say Carson Wentz.
That in your heart of hearts? If you needed to win a game, that you're going to go Carson Wentz over Donovan McNabb? Everything that Donovan McNabb showed you over his
My answer to that is, and the whispers were loud enough that they reached my ears here in Los Angeles, the coaching staff in Philadelphia would tell you they preferred Nick Foles by the end of things. They obviously know Carson Wentz is the superior talent.
But they trusted
Nick Foles. I mean,
Wentz or D. McNabb? You have to win a game.
Well, I guess I'll go with Carson Wentz. I'll go with the unknown entity versus the guy that we know threw up on a football field in the big moment of a Super Bowl. I mean, well, obviously, Carson Wentz has yet to throw up on a field, so I guess I have to go with the unknown, right?
I mean, maybe he had gas station sushi. Who knows?
That would be a weird way to start your Super Bowl Sunday.
It would be. Like
on your way to the stadium.
Riding on the way to the stadium. Like, hey, let me stop at this Amoco.
You know what? This day's probably going to end up busy for me here. I better get something on my stomach before it gets away from me. Oh, some sushi.
Do I go with the California roll? Or
I'll go. You know who would be a great add to not among the non-Hall of Famers for the Eagles? Brian Westbrook. That's my answer for that one.
Okay.
Or the 6'9" pass catcher who seemed to catch a touchdown every week in my youth, Harold Carmichael.
Tall? 6'9"?
I think he was 6'8", 6'9", something like that. The New York Giants, take it away, Eddie Spaghetti. The obvious one is LT.
LT would
they
help
need
them
an
a
edge
lot.
Rusher.
An edge rusher, yeah. They got a few this offseason, but none obviously as good as LT. If you want a non-Hall of Famer that I think would help a lot, they're gambling right now on Mike Remmers at right tackle to move back to his natural position and be healthy. If it doesn't work out, then that's a big hole. Kareem McKenzie was like a Pro Bowler, the right tackle during their Super Bowl years. So it's a lame offensive line answer, but Kareem McKenzie was really good.
Yeah, I guess so. It's not very much fun. And who am I to evaluate the quality of an offensive lineman? You haven't want to throw out any names there, Cole?
I've got two.
Go ahead.
Two kind of curveballs. One's a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. One is not, but he's a Hall of Famer in our hearts.
Plexico.
Here in Studio 66.
Oh, Sean O'Hara.
Bring back Sean O'Hara. Why not? Why not?
Mr. Mustard himself.
Why not? Why not? And
okay.
Then I'm going to go, let's bring back Bill Belichick at D.C.
Oh, ooh. Off the board choice.
Curveball for you.
I like that one very much. That's fun.
How about it?
And let's round out the NFC East here with the Skins and the Hall of Famer. Two good options here, I think. Daryl Green. Would in that division with, especially now that Harold Carmichael is catching passes for the Eagles. Daryl Green is a funny matchup, but one of the smaller guys trying to defend one of the bigger guys. But I think he would fill a need back there. And on the other side, non-Hall of Fame. Well, let's go Hall of Famer. Do you have a Hall of Fame name here?
No one in particular that just jumped right off the tip of my tongue. But earlier.
Well, they don't need John Riggins. You know, the one position they with Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis, they don't really need.
I think Darius Geis is going to be good this year, too.
I do, too.
I think he's going to be real good.
Yeah, especially, again, the big asterisk right now looming there for a team that could be sneaky good is Trent Williams. He better show up or else they're doomed.
Yeah. I was going to go Dexter Manley. We talked
about
that earlier.
Ooh, I like that one.
Like I said, I was telling you, and Eddie, as a kid, I remember sitting there watching a Bears-Redskins game, and Mike Tomczak and Dexter Manley were sharing a few words, choice words, on the field. And I don't remember who was calling the game. I wish there was some way we could find out. But the guy was like, hey, I don't think Dexter Manley wants any part of Mike Tomczak. And even as a young child, I knew he had that completely wrong.
Mike Tomczak V.
Seemed like the scrappiest
Dexter Manley,
kind of guy.
Yeah,
yeah I think if I had to put a wager on that, I'm thinking I'm going to go Dexter Manley eight
I
days
mean,
a
the
week.
Scar tells the tale of Dexter Manley, you know. Come on. He's no stranger to that sort of business.
He knows his thing about,
he can handle
about
himself.
Dust-ups.
Now, I'll tell you, I think they could add Art Monk would be nice as a Hall of Famer, and a non-Hall of Famer, Sean Taylor. You know, I mean, the most highly regarded guy, I think, in the 20 about as highly regarded a football player as there has been in the 21st century is Sean Taylor. If you could put him in that lineup, they would be dangerous. To the NFC North we go, and the Packers, some obvious ones here, Hall of Fame guys that would fill some needs in 2019. Reggie White, now no Mike Daniels, weird departure from Green Bay this week. But Reggie White obviously is dominant, a defensive lineman as the league's ever seen. And then on the other side, still some questions about who's going to be carrying the ball. Here's how you fix that. Not Jim Taylor, not Amon Green, if you want to go non-Hall of Famer. Amon Green might be a nice ad.
Yeah,
but Nebraska. You want to go high-end from a certain era, Paul Hornig, the Golden Boy.
You know, if I was going non-Hall of Famer, I was going to think a little Antonio Freeman action.
Ooh, that's like a that I like that.
I think Aaron Rodgers would like him. You know, split out wide.
I'll do. I think I can upgrade that that option. Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp maybe is even a better high. I mean, put him on the other side of Devontae
Sterling
Adams.
Sharp should be a Hall of Famer, yay or nay.
Yeah, okay, it's called he's not a Hall of Famer, yeah, and I don't think he's going to go.
Yeah, but I feel like when you look at some of the things that he did, he's a pretty special player. You know, and there were times when you said, hey, who's the best in the league? I think he was that guy. I think Sterling Sharp was that dude.
Let's take a quick right turn, shall we? You know, guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Eddie Spaghetti knows what I'm talking about. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse like morbid obesity, Eddie Spaghetti knows what I'm talking about. Guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor, or in Eddie Spaghetti's case, eating his emotions, eating a dozen and a half donuts. But enough about Eddie Spaghetti, because what I'm talking about, it all leads me to this. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Eddie Spaghetti knows what I'm talking about. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED from the comfort of your home and handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. All you have to do, go to GetRoman.com/Damashek, D-A-M-E-S-H-E-K, and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides the treatment would be appropriate, they'll prescribe you genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free two-day shipping. It's just like getting a pizza. You know what I'm talking about, Eddie Spaghetti? Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out, and with Roman, it's easy. So just go to GetRoman.com/Damashek to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Damashek for a free visit to get started.
Let's go to Minnesota now. And I think that the guy who jumps out to me, obviously the Purple People Eaters, you could go Eller, you could go Page up front on that defense there. I'll go a more recent vintage, John Randall among the Gold Jackets.
Yeah, I mean, this is his football life is great. You know, they're saying that, you know, when he was in college, he had to just a fake extra weight. He wore that giant chain around his waist and like sweatpants and a sweatshirt. So he would, add an extra 17 pounds or something like
well,
that.
Well, and in my ongoing campaign to tell anybody who's ever gotten a gold jacket that they need to wear the gold jacket more, like that you should wear it once a week. Most
store.
Guys say, oh no, you got to keep it nice and fancy for special
for
occasions.
What? Let the moths get to it?
No. Yeah. Like
Phil Mickelson wearing the Masters jacket to Krispy Kreme in the drive thru.
That's exactly right. That's right. You go out on a Tuesday night
wear
for dinner.
Wear it to the beach.
That's what you do with the gold. That's what you get it for. That's the point of it. Not to save it for anything,
no,
to let everybody in the world know about it. John Randall told me he once put that and nothing else on and went out to his mailbox just to let the neighborhood know the score. And I loved it.
No undergarments?
I said that was the only thing he wore. He wore that in his pride.
Wow.
He wore that in his pride out to the mailbox.
I'm telling you.
I love that
story. It's a bold move. It's a bold move. Just depends on the time of day.
I like that. So John Randall, let's plug him in there. I don't go offensive line. I know you could go with some guys from there to enhance that, but I'm not.
How about we go via his son, friend of the network, how about we go Cam Jordan's pops, Steve Jordan?
Ooh, I could see that. I mean, they seem to have an abundance of tight end there.
Based upon his video that he shot with Mr. Perfect back in the day. WWE. Have you ever
seen
that?
I like the idea of it. I did see that, yes.
That was fantastic. Mr. Perfect threw a pass to himself at the Minnesota Vikings training facility. Eddie, probably not a fan. Or do you know about that?
No. He's lost.
Do you know who Mr. Perfect is?
No.
Come on, it's Kurt Hennig.
Anything that happened in the preceding millennium, Spaghetti has no interest or knowledge
of. One of the best bad guy heel wrestlers of all time, Mr. Perfect. Everything he did.
I will say, I will go with for, here's an ironic one for you, but I legitimately think, especially with Dalvin Cook back there, how about we give him Herschel Walker?
Can we give him? Can we bring Adrian Peterson back?
I suppose we can do that. I mean, he is destined for the Hall of Fame, so yeah. That's a little bit. But I like that. But Herschel Walker is fun to say. I mean, the big trade that spoiled the Vikings and made the Cowboys. But I still think that Herschel, if you could get him when he's right, when he was healthy, especially to compliment Dalvin Cook, the two of those guys, thunder and lightning. That would swing the division surely for the Minnesota Vikings 2019.
So I was going to say swap Dante Culpepper with Kirk Cousins, let him sling it to Thielen and Diggs.
I was thinking about Dante Culpepper. People forget how good he was until he got hurt. I mean, his career was essentially ended by injury. Yeah. You know,
Culpepper to Moss. Ooh.
I mean, that for real with Diggs and Thielen. Yeah, I mean that is certainly an upgrade.
Rudolph's,
I think,
still there. Yeah, they got a lot of weapons.
I like that call there, Spaghetti. Let's go now to Chicagoland and Cole Wright, the Bears fan, lay it on us here.
Oh, like we already had down there. You already have Walter Payton.
Outside of Lawrence Taylor to the Giants at a position of need, I don't think there's a more obvious one than saying Walter Payton.
Well, if he's 1A, the other Hall of Famer 1B is Mike Singletary.
Yeah, but the defense is kind of loaded, but I do like...
True. Imagine if you threw Mike Singletary into that defense and just said, all right, let's just throw athletes on the field.
Sure.
Let there be no position designation. Let's just get guys... Go get that football.
Well, how about if you're going to make an already dynamite defense even that much scared?
Richard Dent?
What if you go Richard Dent? He's a Hall of Famer. What if you go
Wilbur Marshall?
How about you go Otis Wilson or Wilbur Marshall for non-Hall of Famers?
Come on now.
That would be dangerous. Here, let me throw a wild card at you.
Dave Dewerson, rest in peace.
That's a good call, too. Here, let me throw another one at you. Devin Hester. I don't know why I whispered it, but Devin Hester, because
I don't know why I blew into the microphone like,
here's the, the premise of that is, if in fact the 2019 Bears defense does dominate, if you throw a guy like that who can get you a quick, cheap six like that, I think Maurice Jones-Drew calls those extra points is what he calls those.
Yeah.
I think that's how he refers to
Lanyap, as they call it down in Louisiana.
You're getting touchdowns from your special teams. That wins you most games.
If you put Devin Hester on the Bears, they are just like the LSU team back in the day with Honey Badger.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
That defense, and then he's going to make a play, and then he's going to return kicks, and something's going to happen, and they're good for at least 14 to 17 extra points.
Extra
game.
Splashy. Like, if Devin Hester gets you an additional 3 to 5 touchdowns over the course of the season, that's probably going to be worth, you know, two or three more wins.
Or five, though.
Touchdowns? I don't know, but either way, I mean, that's for a defense dominant team like that. I think it would be hard to do much better than that. And let's go with the Lions. Easier to do the Hall. I mean, again, it's another one. They don't. I mean, with all due respect to Kerryon Johnson, who had his moments there, plagued by injury in his rookie season, looks like he's going to be a good one. But you ain't going to do any better than Barry Sanders.
No, but if I'm Matt Stafford, and I need someone to throw to. I might call on Herman Moore.
Why
not?
Or Megatron.
Or Megatron, right.
Yeah, but that's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, okay.
He's going to go to the Hall.
We've already established, Eddie, that I'm going with the non-Hall of Famers, unless I throw a curveball like Bill Belichick back at D.C.
I like that for
Big Blue.
And by the way,
Herman Moore, I mean.
If for whatever reason Barry Sanders isn't available, I'm more than happy to go with Billy Sims, my favorite running back of all time.
Of all time.
Oh, I love that.
Not Tony Dorsett.
I love Tony Dorsett, too, but I didn't like him when he wore
I feel like you refuse to call him Tony Dorsett.
I don't refuse to. Tony Dorsett has grandfathered me into allowing to pronounce his name the way it was pronounced before he moved to Dallas, Texas.
Sure, you call him Joe Theismann, too?
No, because I didn't ask Joe's permission for that. When I came to know Joe Theismann, the football player, he was already Theismann.
Okay.
I knew Tony Dorsett to be a high-end running back at the University of Pittsburgh, winning Heisman trophies. Okay, that predates me by a little bit, but I heard the lore from my old man and from my grandfather playing at Hopewell for the Vikings right next to Aliquippa there, the high-end market for superstar football players has produced so many over
Western
the
PA.
Years. That's right. I told Tony Dorsett a tale once of my grandfather seeing him play at Hopewell, calling my father saying, Pitt, has this kid on the way there in the fall who I'm watching right now, and he's going to break every record. And so this was true.
Before you told him that, did you tell everybody to gather around? I feel like when you tell a tale, that's what you have to do. Gather around, everybody.
I told this tale to Tony Dorsett.
Okay.
I spun this yarn for him, and there we sat in Los Angeles kibitzing, you know, a quarter century or more after that story first began. I told him that, and I said, given that my mother's from the same neck of the woods, Hopewell, like you, is it cool if I don't do the fancy pronunciation of Dorsett? And he said it is. So Tony Dorsett it is.
He gave you his blessing.
He did. That's what I'm saying. He grandfathered me in.
It's now, almost, you like, it's can't almost do like that. Getting communion from the Pope.
Don't you do it. Don't you try it. It won't go over.
I wouldn't. Unless I said that I got the okay from you.
I don't even know if I'm deputized.
I wouldn't want to get smacked by Tony D. Not at all.
And so there goes the NFC North. We've done that whole one. Oh wait, did we finish there though? Calvin Johnson. I like the Herman Moore call quite a bit.
You like that one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
When I went to school in Michigan, the first day I got there, one of the guys I was riding around with that I was friends with when I was there, we're riding in Oakland. Of all places, Oakland, Michigan, mm-hmm. right by University of Oakland, which is not on the West Coast. And we're at a stoplight, and I look, there's a white Tahoe sitting right next to us. Or maybe it was a Yukon, whatever it was. It doesn't matter the designation.
As long as it's not a Bronco.
The GMC.
As long as it wasn't a white Bronco.
It was not. It was not a Ford family automobile. But I look, and I'm like, hey, that's Herman Moore. And that was probably one of the first times in my life that I saw an athlete or quote unquote a famous person.
He's super recognizable. His face is super recognizable.
It is.
I would think
he's
could pick him out too. Yeah.
He's got big eyes.
Big ears too, right?
I don't remember the size of his ears, but I do remember his eyes, and they were unmistakable. Oh. I'm like, hey, that's Herman Moore.
He got
right
lost
there.
In them. Spaghetti.
Like a Debbie Gibson song.
Spaghetti, are you bored by this subject or no? Or is this fun?
No, it's all good.
Tell me so. We can stop.
I hate being with the no Hall of Famers, and a lot of you guys are picking again pre 1992 names. So I'm just like, oh man, I only know like recent guys, and I feel like an idiot compared to you. But that's fine.
I mean, you got stroll down memory lane.
Let's look at the Saints. Who do they even have in the Hall?
You know who I'm bringing back?
Ricky Jackson, I guess, would be a good guy to plug in there.
Is
on
Willie
that defense.
Rofe in the Hall?
Willie Rofe. Yeah, the offensive lineman. Boring. But yeah, Willie Rofe. Yeah.
Just to properly clear a hole for our guy, Alvin Kamara, because Mark Ingram over there in Baltimore, we know that. I'm going to go with rest in peace, Ironhead Hayward.
Ooh, I love that.
Ironhead Hayward. Come on now. Clear the lane.
That is a better one, especially in the Thunder and Lightning dynamic with Alvin Kamara, no Mark Ingram. I was thinking George Rogers, the Heisman Trophy winner, who had a few nice years there in New Orleans and then moved up to D.C. George Rogers or Dalton Hilliard.
Deuce McAllister.
Reggie Bush.
Leroy Glover. Yeah,
that's a redundancy there. But
how's their D-line right now? They have an interior guy, Leroy Glover.
Well, listen, in 21st century NFL, it's all about splash plays on defense. It's not about shutting anyone down properly. It's about making some turnovers, making some splashy plays. Pat Swilling would be great in that regard, right?
Okay.
I mean, boy, with all those linebackers that they had in that era there, I think Pat Swilling could swing some games here in 2019. So I like that one. The Carolina Panthers, not rich with history necessarily, but they have had some high-end players there. The Hall of Famer, obviously, who comes to mind, Julius Peppers.
Big as all outside, man. I mean, when it comes to athleticism, I mean, how do you get much better than that? You're talking about splash plays on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, he's as splashy as they come.
Well, and here's the other one I'll go with among non-Hall of Famers, although this is probably a little bit of a cheat because I suspect he gets into the Hall of Fame a little more easily than some people, some cynics think, is another colleague, Steve Smith. And I always talk about Cam Newton, that the thing I always point to is 15-1 season, and that is not, despite, again, what the skeptics might tell you, what the cynics will say, that wasn't his one good season. He had the greatest rookie season in NFL history among throwers.
D'Angelo Williams, bringing him back.
Okay, but what's he get you that Christian McCaffrey doesn't?
Well, I mean, if you pair him, do like they did last year in New Orleans.
Okay, Tim Biakabutuka. I mean, I don't know who. I think I think I would go Steve Smith there to give him another weapon. Although
he's a future Hall of Famer, though. Was he six?
Missing Muhammad, then. Give him, yeah.
You know what? That's a good one because they now all of a sudden have given Cam some weapons there with some real wheels, some young talent. If Curtis Samuel especially now can finally shake off fully the injury bug, I do think they have playmakers now, and not just a pass catcher, but now at Christian McCaffrey, a nice steady possession type receiver in Masin Muhammad. That's a good call there.
I just feel like he's going to be like out of his prime, Cam, and they'll finally get him like a big, really good wide receiver. Like they just don't ever want to address it. I don't understand that.
I'll ask that call.
I'll ask Christian's father. Speak of steady, easy Ed McCaffrey. Next week we're going to 49ers camp.
Is that right?
We'll be up in Santa Clara.
Ooh, you know what? I should drop him a line.
Easy Ed McCaffrey.
He jumped in on a conversation I was having with I don't remember whom. I think it was Ross Tucker. Oh yeah, Ross Tucker was belly aching as we like to talk about food a lot.
Sure.
And he tweeted at me that he was offended that he was at a hamburger hot dog joint and they only had the ketchup. They had the big thing of ketchup with a the pump thing, but then they only had mustard packets. And I pointed out, it's like that. Yeah, that's weak. Even weaker is not having dark mustard as an option.
Brown mustard. It's almost like at Dodger games when you have the mustard and the ketchup in the automatic. So all you do is press it, but then it's the brown mustard.
That's the winner.
The best of the best in a pump.
The gold is what you want. You don't want the yellow. You don't want that ever. But then, out of the blue, a tweet came through from the aforementioned Ed McCaffrey because he has his whole line of mustards. Maybe I should drop him a line in advance of you visiting. I will, and I'll say, can you do me a favor and hand off to Cole Wright some mustards for me to sample.
I'll gladly bring
them. And I will review them here. Maybe you and I, you could bring them down here. We'll do that here in Studio
66. Try different mustards on bratwursts.
Okay.
Some encased meats.
And
oh, by the way, when on 4th of July, I went around the Dodgers clubhouse and asked guys, I said, hamburger, hot dog. One has to go. Which one is it? Hot dog. Clubhouse favorite by far.
The hot dog for the rest of time?
Got kicked to curb. Kicked to the curb. David Freese, hamburger.
Oh, yeah,
Dave
Roberts,
hamburger. Matt Muncy, hamburger. Ross Stripling, hamburger. Every one of them.
Of course. You wouldn't. If you were... Not what do you like in the perfect situation, everything. If the standard is you never get to have the one ever again that you don't choose, then surely everybody would choose a hamburger over a wiener, right, Spaghetti?
All wieners?
How about this? I'm not just talking about your standard hot dog. I'm talking all encased meats.
Oh, no.
All wieners. All manner. You would definitely take a hamburger.
What if they're right, like the best hamburger? Cheeseburger, obviously. I mean, to me, a cheeseburger kicks it up a notch as opposed to the best hot dog.
Yeah, why would you deprive yourself a piece of cheese when offered? Right.
That's a tough one.
You would really have to think about that?
I feel like L.A. is such a burger town, too. I feel like I eat burgers at least three times a week, which is terrible. I try to mix it up and try to put, at least a little turkey in the mixture.
Okay, but that's fine. That's a good, healthy choice. You know what? I go the extra mile. Sometimes I go black bean burger. How about that?
I don't ever mix that.
Oh, those are good.
I don't ever do that.
Those can be very tasty. Yeah. But listen, I think I'd be surprised if the percentage was anything less than 80%.
I mean, the only time I really ever
burger
eat hot
over
dogs
wiener
is at a ball game. Unless I go, maybe once or twice a year, I'll swing by Wiener Schnitzel and be like, hey, just for fun.
Well, there are better wieners to be had.
Well, there are,
but I mean, this side of Sean O'Hara, who would take a wiener?
If we're losing all like kielbasa and like diverse kuches stuff, like I don't know, I might take
linguica and andouille and chorizo.
I might take those over burgers.
All right, you're gonna be calling me in about. You'll enjoy yourself for a year.
I think
maybe
you'll be
three.
Upset when you see people indulging in burgers. I feel
I do. I love me some In-N-Out.
Because you could still
buy burgers.
In-N-Out overrated. Let's not get carried away.
No, I'm obsessed with it. I love burgers.
It's way overrated. I'd rather go to the Habit than go to the In-N-Out.
Oh, I have so many burger tips I can.
The Habit
can give
is
you.
Is
in
good.
L.A. I mean, all this nonsense that Woody Allen created in Annie Hall 40 years ago.
Is that where
the
burger craze in L.A. came from?
No, I think the perception was perpetuated more than anything else in the zeitgeist that L.A. is all health food and there's nothing good to eat in Los Angeles from Annie Hall. That's my assumption. Okay. I don't know that that's the case, but I think that probably formed some opinions across America. And, in fact, like you say, it's a burger town. It's a... I've lived in Chicago. I've spent plenty of time in New York. Pittsburgh's a great,
Jackson Hole
in
New York and Murray Hill.
All those kind of things. But L.A. is the number one burger town that I've ever been to.
Yeah, I don't know if I've been there. But, yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
The first place I ever went to eat in New York City when my brother lived there when I was a kid. And then when my buddies moved there, they lived in the apartment right above Jackson Hole. How's that for a coincidence? You don't really care. Huh. I'm looking at your face.
I do want the burger. The burger you had on your birthday. Yeah. The petite
don't gather. Just a pro tip. Don't gather too many people around next time you spin that yarn.
Okay. Don't tell everybody to gather around.
Why did I have to stop what I was doing to gather around for that yarn?
Yeah. But I did see when
Jackson Hole, you say, huh? Can I go back to my cubicle now?
As a kid, I saw the lead singer from CNC Music Factory on the payphone right in front of my brother's apartment. With Herman Moore. Yeah. Remember CNC Music Factory, Eddie? No.
I don't.
He's too young. Going to make you sweat.
He knows nothing. He knows nothing.
It'd be like us not knowing about stuff that happened in the 60s.
Listen. It's called
encyclopedias.
On one hand, it's a curmudgeon's posture to take, like, you kids. But really, this thing of the millennials, that they don't know anything and are sort of proud
of it. Have you ever seen Wizard of Oz?
Why would I know about that? That happened before I was on the earth.
I disagree in the sense, because I do get compliments about how much weird stuff I do know, because I do like to do my nightly read the Wikipedia, like just research topics. Okay. So I am good in some stuff. I am pretty good at music.
Read Wikipedia randomly for pleasure?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I have a lot of, there's a lot of stuff I have.
Wikipedia can sometimes get you.
Yeah, they could be fake, but you could tell. I'm not as bad as you guys make me on the show. The stuff on the show is, like, very specific, and it's just, like, some stuff
All right, I'll try to be less specific. The Atlanta Falcons. Who are we going to go with there? Cole Wright.
Bring back a little Jam Anderson.
Ooh, fun choice. I like that. And they,
let's
you
just
know,
tell them to run straight ahead, though.
Yeah.
Straight ahead. No side-to-side lateral movements.
Tevin Coleman gone. Not necessarily with Freeman back there. As nice as he can be. Mm. Has had some injury concerns. I'll go, as far as that goes, you know, this maybe predates you a little bit, Cole Wright. Do you remember William Andrews, the predecessor to Gerald Riggs, who had a very similar running style?
I do not.
Both rugged runners, but William Andrews could catch some passes in an age where there wasn't as much value placed on a guy who could catch. But he was a moose of a guy, but also was nimble enough to get out of the backfield and catch some passes.
Cat-like.
Yeah, off the right arm of the great Steve Bartkowski, who probably isn't an upgrade to Matt Ryan, so we'll leave that alone. I'll throw him out. The late, great Bill Frelick could jazz up that offensive line.
Billy Joe Hobert?
I'm not going to say Billy Joe Hobert would be. You know, among Hall of Famers, Deion Sanders is going to make any team. So Deion Sanders at corner would make that already. I like the pieces. And by the way, as a side note, when you talk, we'll get into our sleepers as we dig into August here, and we'll start to color things in as the season draws nigh. But the Atlanta Falcons are going to be good this year. Let's see what happens in training camp. I think it's foolish when people start providing, here's what their record's going to be. Well, we don't know what the attrition's going to be because of the training camp injuries, which always are a factor.
Dirk Cutter's back, though. So that could be
what's
good.
What's that?
Dirk Cutter is back at OC.
Dirk Cutter's return is humongous for them.
That's good.
The pieces that went down in the first game of the season last year.
They're back.
Keanu Neal, I mean, that's a huge they're going to be that defense. I really like. I think they were delayed a little bit last year in Dan Quinn's defense, but I think they're going to be really a big. I'm nearing already picking them to win the division, but let's wait and see how August.
Julio Jones said today he might mess around and go for 3,000 yards this season.
I saw that.
Let's get 2,000 first.
Let's settle down.
Let's get 2,000 first, please, because last time I looked, no one's ever gotten 2,000 yards. So.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who would help out Bruce Arians and company down there? Could you go Doug Williams at QB over Jameis? I don't think so.
Brad Johnson?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, listen.
Long neck.
Let's give Jameis a break here, and let's see him with a actual QB whisper, which is what Bruce Arians is. A lot of people are alleged QB whisperers, like Dirk Cutter, who's done some nice work there with Matt Ryan, but doesn't necessarily have the track record. Bruce Arians, working with QBs, he is going to turn Jameis into a good quarterback. We're so flush with quarterbacks at this point in the NFL. I don't know what number you can put. Oh, he'll be a top 10. People say that it's a little cavalier. Whenever, oh, yeah, he's going to be in the top 10. Like, okay, who are you knocking out? Because look at the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, who you would consider to be in there. Nevertheless, I think Jameis turns a corner. Do we give him a pass catcher?
Warwick, I was going to say Warwick Dunn, maybe. Just their running game. Like, you know, they don't really have – Ronald Jones was not what they thought. That's another option.
Mike Allstott would be nice. If you go a little further back, James Wilder, if you remember him, was a very nice running back for them, a big dude who could tote it. Among Hall of Famers, I think if you drop Derek Brooks in there, that's an easy one. Or Warren Sapp and the defensive front. Hard to argue with that.
Rondé.
Simeon Rice, Rondé Barber. Yeah, you could really jazz that up. I would go with, if I had to make a choice, I think I got to go Sapp on that. Well, although, you know what? At a position in need, I think Derek Brooks makes more sense there for the 2019. But I do like Rondé Barber as a call there and any number of those running backs. Thus ends the NFC South, and let's bring it on home with the NFC West. And I'll start locally here with the questions about Todd Gurley and that knee of his, Eric Dickerson, the most underrated Hall of Fame running back of them all.
Is he?
Yeah. When people talk about people always swoon when people say, who's the best running back you've ever seen? People always go to, people always say, oh, Barry Sanders and Walter Payton. It always devolves into that head-to-head debate. People forget about how good Eric Dickerson was for those first
tremendous
5 years of his career, five, six.
But
even
do you
in
think
Indianapolis,
he's the most underrated? I think we work with the most underrated running back in the history of the National Football League who's a Hall of Famer.
Who's that, TD?
TD.
I think so. I mean,
Come on now.
TD was great, and when you talk about guys, his peer group from that era, when you're talking about Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders and Jerome Bettis and Curtis Martin, TD was clearly the best running back in an era where there were so many Hall of Fame level running backs.
Yeah.
I'm with you, but I'm talking about just as good as he was, Eric. The tiebreaker, if there is one to be made there between those two names you float out, is Eric Dickerson. Will tell you directly, with all due respect to Dieter Brock. Dieter Brock was the quarterback when that team went to the NFC title game. They had little else besides Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
I think you, and for non-Hall of Famers, how about Henry Ellard? He was a great high-end pass catcher for a long time there.
For the Rams?
For the Rams, yeah.
You would add offense?
I would
add Aeneas Williams maybe at safety. Their DBs are like they could fall off a cliff. They're a little bit older and banged up.
I hear you, and that's those are fine. That's fine to throw that out. But I also then will refer you to the almost undefeated New England Patriots. What happened when they plugged in Randy Moss? It went to another level. When you have a machine like Sean McVay has cooking there, what if you put in a real, a generational talent there? What if you could throw Torrey Holt into the mix there? Yeah. You know,
I think you have Jackie Slater. Jackie Slater, Hall of Famer, right?
Woods, Cup,
Jackie Slater,
yeah.
Brandon Cooks, like there's just, then you add a fourth.
Those
receiver.
Guys are fine. Those guys are fine. They
were scoring 50 points with them. Like that's what I'm saying. Like I don't know.
Okay, that's a fine argument. I'm just saying, what if you could throw it? But the position of need that looms right now. I hear you on the secondary there. But I think that if you could throw, and by the way, talk about Hall of Famers. Deacon Jones lined up next to Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
yikes.
That's probably the answer.
I mean, if you had that, then that becomes perhaps the scariest defensive front that we've seen in the 21st century.
I mean, you're already doubling Aaron Donald, so you're a double Deacon, too?
Well, I mean, that was the supposed premise of the 2018 Rams with Ndamukong Suh in there, and that didn't exactly work out.
Suh took off half the season, so.
But yeah, I think that all those – I'm going to stay with my original choice. Among Hall of Famers, Eric Dickerson is a pretty good one. I'm going to add in Torrey Holt. Torrey Holt should be in the Hall of Fame, so that's a little bit of a cheat.
Can I give you a curveball just because I want to just bring it up?
Go ahead.
How about we go Fred Dreyer?
Okay, you want to go 89? That's fine with me if you want to.
You know about that? You know what TV show he was on? Hunter.
Oh, come on,
He doesn't know Hunter. He's never heard of Hunter before.
So I'm saying, so
how
specific?
Many guys have been?
Do I know Fred
Hunter?
Dreyer.
Like
Fred Dreyer,
how,
man.
How am I googling that? How am I gonna know that?
Fred Avery, Dreyer.
Avery Williamson
in...
was his sidekick. Played Hawk.
Fred Dreyer.
Oh, you want to go? You want to go with Merlin Olsen? You can do that one too.
He's a friend of Ron Burgundy's. He comes over from time to time.
You go with Merlin Olsen up on that front. That's a Hall of Famer,
FTD.
Though.
FTD. FTD flower guy. Remember that?
Can I? You know what? Wait a second. We would be downright disrespectful to not say. Talk about colleagues. What about Kurt Warner? Kurt Warner on that team. What do you think Kurt Warner would do with Sean McVay's offense? You think he made Jared Goff, who was an abject bust according to everybody, after his rookie season under Jeff Fisher. Sean McVay comes in, and now he is, is he going to get the $100 million deal that quarterbacks get? Well, certainly he carried a team to a Super Bowl and all that talk. We'll see how he looks in 2019, but with all due respect to 16, I think you could upgrade it with 13.
Yeah, if they swap, they win the Super Bowl probably.
If they put Kurt Warner in?
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's right. No, Kurt Warner. No, we almost forgot that.
No shame in that.
Then let's go to the Cardinals here. This one's a little lackluster. I guess we can give them offensive linemen. Dan Dierdorf makes sense. That's not fun to name. Among Hall of Famers, Jackie Smith, best known for dropping the pass in Super Bowl 13 off the arm of Roger Staubach. That would be a nice add to what is already. There's some nice pieces for Kyler Murray to be throwing to this year, but I think if you give him the so-called security blanket of a good tight end, I think that would be good. Or another non-Hall of Fame security blanket. Let's go Anquan Boldin.
I was going to say, too.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going with, yeah. That's pretty much where I was at.
Can we give him Honey Badger?
Yeah, bring him
back. It's a little bit of a cheat, but that wouldn't be too bad either there.
I'm sure he would like it.
Or Darnell Dockett or Calais Campbell. Give him one of those guys.
Wow.
The defense would be assisted there. The Niners. Rich with Hall of Famers there. You know, all due respect to Jimmy Garoppolo. This team, I think, is the I'll go so far as to say they are the clear-cut favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC if you put Joe Montana or Steve Young in there, right? Over Jimmy G.
Clear-cut? Favorite to go to the Super Bowl?
If you have one of the or 12 best quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era replacing Jimmy Garoppolo with should be a dominant defense.
Even if you took an active great quarterback and put them on San Francisco right now, that doesn't immediately make them a Super Bowl favorite, does it?
If you
put Tom Brady on San Francisco, are they going to the Super Bowl?
I think that they're winning the division with Jimmy Garoppolo. So how about that? So
you think the Niners are going to win the division this year with Jimmy G?
That's right.
Okay.
Listen, my glass is half full. And here's the argument. Okay. Kyle Shanahan, unless everybody is wrong about him being an offensive genius the same level as Sean McVay or any other name you want to throw out, has been derailed in San Francisco last year by the injury to Jimmy G. And before that, that's his first year, and there were some nice signs, but the roster wasn't built the way it is now. I think where they lack is they still need a nice pass catcher. So let's give them one named Jerry Rice. Although I do think that if you plug in as constituted, if you give them one of those two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, I think that team, like I say, is certain to win the division and maybe go to the Super Bowl. But Jerry Rice with Jimmy Garoppolo, I will say that the and by the way, the defense is loaded this year in San Francisco. So I like them. Now, I think if you threw Ronnie Lott back there, then they're really set.
Ken Norton.
Pat Willis. Middle linebacker. Their D-line's good. Middle linebacker's kind of whatever.
Okay, Patrick Willis. I'll accept that as a non-Hall of Fame answer.
We bring back, we're not going defense, but we already brought him back for one team, for the Cowboys, Terrell Owens, specifically on Jerry Rice Day. Against the Chicago Bears.
That's right. Jerry Rice didn't like that so much, by the way.
Man, oh, man.
I've heard stories. He did not enjoy that from somebody who was standing on the sideline. Did not love seeing T.O. Have his breakout
game. Someone with the initials S.M.?
I don't know. I don't want to smooch too much here. But also, you talk about an offensive guru and what he wants out of the running back, and you remember the big signing that they had Jerick McKinnon a year ago. And I thought that was not a great move, but Kyle Shanahan wants a certain kind of running back. We'll now see. He has Tevin Coleman who can do it. How about we give him a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, Roger Craig?
Yeah. No, it's...
You put Roger Craig in the Kyle Shanahan offense, egad. That's also a nice ad there. Mm-hmm. Niners would look good.
Roger Craig, 1,500 guy? Or 1,000 guy?
1,000. Yeah, I don't think it was 1,500. And let's bring it on home on the NFC side of things with the Seattle Seahawks go... Cole Wright.
I'm bringing back Marshawn Lynch, man.
Ooh.
They need a running back.
I was going to say Sean Alexander.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Pride of Alabama.
Yeah.
You got it.
Does Marshawn go to the Hall?
I don't think so.
Marshawn should go to the Hall. That's the correct answer. Marshawn definitely belongs in the Hall
of Fame. Or Ricky Waters, Notre Dame.
Ricky Waters is not in the Hall of Fame. He also should be in the Hall of Fame, and not just because he was splashy in his prime, but because if you look at the numbers, they bear out that he has that he's Hall of Fame worthy. It's very weird.
You know what's on the table, though?
The alligator arms.
Well, the potential of them expanding next year, this year for the 100th year celebration. 20 guys get into the – there's a potential of that. It's on the table. 20 guys, and so the log jams that there are at certain positions, maybe they would.
Torrey Holt needs
bit.
To go in. LC Greenwood needs to go in. There are a lot of names out there. Bob Greasy needs his gold jacket revoked.
Isaac Bruce,
Torrey Holt. Like I say, I mean, both those guys really belong in the Hall of Fame. For the Seahawks, I can say if we want to do a guy who's not in the Hall of Fame, but is perhaps destined to wind up there, is Earl Thomas. You could also throw in, their corners are sound. Their safety is the safety position is where they're in trouble. So I would go non-Hall of Famers Earl Thomas. If you want to add a corner, obviously you can go Richard Sherman.
Did you hear that, Earl Thomas, that sign language as he was getting carted off the field was directed, not at the organization, it was directed directly at Pete Carroll.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Very revealing interview.
Players coach.
Recently, yeah.
I didn't hear that. No, mm-hmm. I didn't. But if we're looking for a high-end safety, and he is a Hall of Famer now, Kenny Easley, the assassin.
Why not?
I like
Why
that not? One.
I have another boring that. One. I know we don't like O-line, but this would help this team dramatically. Is Walter Jones.
Yeah, okay. I know. I get it. That's a good You could you can do that one. And also, with now Doug Baldwin gone, I mean, the easy one to say, but Steve Largent. Again, when you do the rankings, it's one of the more interesting things, I think, as a football fan to look at, is who's the best wide receiver of the Super Bowl era. When you start ranking them out, after you get past Jerry Rice and Randy Moss, I now think you say Antonio Brown is the third best of the Super Bowl era. Let's see how he performs without number 7, and let's see how 7 performs without 84.
You take Antonio Brown over T.O.?
Yeah, definitely. Antonio Brown does not drop passes. T.O., for all his greatness, dropped a lot of passes. That's hard to argue about that one. Larry Fitzgerald is in the conversation. I'm trying to think off the top of my head the names that we floated. Michael Irvin is kind of there, but I think Steve Largent is the name that is most commonly left off that list. Go back and watch what Steve Largent did with an array of QBs, none of whom are in the Hall of Fame. From Jim Zorn to Dave Craig, Steve Largent did it.
What about you take you've actually derailed my train of thought, man. I mean, I'm at a loss for words. I mean,
because you want to have some AB versus TO argument.
I mean, would you go? Would you go AB or Steve Smith?
Oh, AB. I mean, I love Steve Smith, the football player, but AB definitely the superior player.
You go AB. Steve Smith. Reggie Wayne.
Steve Smith belongs in the Hall of Fame for sure.
AB or Reggie Wayne?
AB.
AB or Marvin Harrison?
It's a little bit closer. I'll go AB just because we've seen him do it in the cold. And Marvin Harrison is, if you want to play skeptic, you can question that he did it on the fast track and he did it under climate control and he did it with Peyton Manning and all that. Not that AB has suffered a mediocre quarterback at any point during his career either, and that's what has yet to be proven. Let's wait and see how he looks with Derek Carr in 2019, and then we can more properly evaluate him. Sure. But then again, Marvin Harrison never played without a Hall of Fame quarterback himself. So
good point.
Or did he? He might have. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I think he was there before Peyton Manning, like, what, one season?
I'm trying to think who preceded Peyton there. It wasn't Jeff George. I'm
Was
getting
Jim
confused.
Harbaugh?
Might have been Jim Harbaugh, yeah. Anyway, I think that's fun. I think that's a fun conversation. Spaghetti, boring or no?
No.
Cole
no,
Wright? Too boring
for
you?
I liked it. I was on board.
Was that fun to talk about?
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to get off your chest? We talked about the workouts.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is, you talk about this is a recurring theme for us here on the DDFP. Whether you want to buy this or not, even the allegedly, you know, the cooler heads, the people that aren't reacting to the shiny keys every 5 minutes of of this news cycle, guys who understand the history of football and everything else, still end up casting votes for the Hall of Fame based on some iconic moments. It's reason why Lynn Swann is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that everyone has that Hall of Fame play.
Drew Pearson,
that Heisman moment, quote,
I mean,
unquote.
It's weird that Drew Pearson isn't in the Hall of Fame based on what I'm saying, because he has had those special moments in big games, obviously catches the first nominal Hail Mary, or in fact catches that pass, and then it becomes known as the Hail Mary after 88 defeats the Vikings in the divisional round way back when. But those, when you have a couple of moments like that, they win out over a long career very often, more than you usually do. And I'm not saying this guy could have been a Hall of Famer, but this week marks the end, the formal end of Mark Sanchez's career in the NFL. And the butt fumble is the one moment,
unfortunately,
that changes his career. Well, fortunate or not, that's the way it goes down. That's the way his career is going to be remembered more than anything else.
Two AFC championship games he went to, if I'm not
mistaken. Well, as far as that goes, you know, Jim Marshall isn't in the Hall of Fame, and he was a part of the Purple People Eaters on the great Vikings team. Carl Eller and Alan Page are in the Hall of Fame. Jim Marshall, best remembered for the wrong way fumble. Leon Lett had some great moments, was a key piece of those Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl teams, but what's he known for? For the double whammy of Don Beebe, and then going after the ball in the snow in Texas Stadium against the Dolphins on Thanksgiving. Those moments loom large, and the way we regard Mark Sanchez, and in fact, what happens with his career, even where he goes from there, do the Jets even go and try and do something weird with Tim Tebow and bring him into camp to maybe goose Mark Sanchez? We'll never know, but I will tell you this. The Steelers get lucky to go to the Super Bowl to play the Packers in Super Bowl 45 because the Jets come to town right after the can't wait, Bart Scott, they win, they go up to New England, they improbably knock off the Patriots, they come to Heinz Field.
2010 season, beginning of 2011, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the Steelers, it looked like, were going to be playing the Patriots, but instead they face the Jets at home in Heinz Field. This is a walkover for a very good Steelers team. They're on their way to the Super Bowl. And by halftime, the game has already gotten out of hand. I believe Ike Taylor forces a fumble, and William Gay scoops it up and runs it into the end zone. The Steelers have what seems like a prohibitive lead with just 30 minutes left before the Super Bowl. But then in the second half, Mark Sanchez comes out on fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things. It's a Nick Foles type of thing. I think that Mark Sanchez could be known as a Nick Foles type if he completes what – in fact, it's not even on Mark Sanchez. It's on the play caller in that second half, because Mark Sanchez starts it by throwing a touchdown pass to the ex-Steeler Santonio Holmes. Mm-hmm. They start to rally, and they really get it going. In the fourth quarter, they make a drive where they physically punish. They dominate the great Steelers defense. There was no answer for Sean Green as they march down the field. Mm-hmm. And I got a pit in my stomach as a Steelers fan watching this. We're going to lose to the Jets in Heinz Field if something doesn't happen here. It winds up fourth and goal at the inch line. They take Sean Green and our pal LaDainian Tomlinson, great as he was. It was a weird move to take Sean Green off the field and replace him with LT, who they give the ball to at the goal line. The Steelers stop that. Mm. Thus ends the rally by the Jets. If they get that and Mark Sanchez leads a second half rally in Heinz Field against the Steel Curtain defense and takes that team to a Super Bowl. I don't think
the lore
Tim
of Mark
Sanchez.
No one remembers the butt fumble, even if it happens.
Right. I think Mark Sanchez he goes to Foxborough and vanquishes them. Now he has a mystique on par with Nick Foles and Joe Flacco making his run that he made, and instead butt fumble. So watch those moments, because that's how you're remembered. And to go outside of football, how about what do we know about Bill Buckner? Really, after it's all said and done, what do we know about Chris Webber about anything else?
Oh, the timeout.
And so those couple of moments here and there impact the way we regard somebody. Happy trails to Mark Sanchez as he goes off into that good night. All right, we're going to go off into the good hot afternoon. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, not anything that it was on the tip of my tongue. I don't think so. Anything that you wanted me to say?
What, are you bored or something?
No, I mean,
you want to go? Go.
I could talk with you for hours. I mean, we could talk about nothing.
I know. Forever. We could talk about movies, but then I'd get upset at your terrible movie.
But opinions. Then, I'd bring it back full circle, and then I'd hit you with a movie that we both agree on.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Let's do this one because it came out on this date in 1980, or maybe it was yesterday. Either way, Caddyshack.
Fantastic.
You like that?
Absolutely.
You love Caddyshack.
Who doesn't?
I don't know. They're
Bushwood Country Club?
Oh, there are, if you don't think that there are.
I was born to love you.
There are so many people who will tell you, so many vapid cynics who say, Caddyshack's overrated. It's not that good a movie. It is hysterical.
Ted
to this
Knight.
Day. Ted Knight
fantastic.
Steals the picture. That's
Let's
right.
go, Pookie.
Rodney. Danny. You want to be my friend, don't you, Danny?
I used to work at a golf bar called Billy Baru's.
Is that true?
Ted Knight's putter. And we had the golf simulators downstairs and two upstairs. When I used to bartend, I used to hustle guys. By the way,
they it's Dangerfield and it's Chevy Chase and Bill Murray and all these stars. Ted Knight steals the picture. Knight is the star of that movie. And to bring it back to football, who is the main character? Who is the story? Who drives the whole story?
Danny Noonan. Absolutely.
Danny Noonan, also on the defensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. I am not going to suggest that the Cowboys of 2019 bring back Danny Noonan.
A spaghetti scene, Caddyshack?
Have you seen Caddyshack?
I've seen Caddyshack. I enjoy Caddyshack.
Caddyshack or Blues Brothers, if you could only watch one.
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, Blues Brothers is great.
Or which one, if you could only watch one?
Caddyshack.
You take Caddyshack or Blues Brothers?
I love Blues Brothers.
My Chicagoness would not allow me to take Caddyshack over Blues Brothers.
Yeah, it comes from the same place. Yeah. Doesn't that make it all right?
Harold Ramis and those cats?
Yeah, same.
Landis.
It's funny, you guys. So I don't know if it was where I just heard it recently, too, but the two craziest sets, like movie sets to be on.
Animal House?
That's one of them, and the other two are Blues Brothers and Caddyshack. Yeah,
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Throw Belushi or Murray in the mix, and I think you're going to have a good time.
Roddy Dangerfield, all those guys.
I feel like Dangerfield probably was—he probably let the young guys have their fun. I mean, he was a little older. Mm-hmm. Maybe he liked to hang out and party, but who knows?
Oh, I think Rodney enjoyed. I think Rodney lived life. I don't think he survived life.
Maybe he's like Dean Martin. Maybe
Rodney. I think Rodney had a fun life. Yeah.
Well, Dean Martin used to put apple juice in his drink. That was not scotch that he was drinking.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He perpetuated this myth as he went on. He got too old. He's like, I'm too old for that. I don't have time for that.
But I think then the myth overwhelmed the reality at some point that he was doing, that's just apple juice. He's not constantly drunk. But then it also is like, Dean Martin also did, in fact, enjoy booze.
True. It's like, Dean, maybe you want to switch from rye whiskey to apple juice.
Not hanging out with
right
Sinatra
now.
And company and as a teetotaler. I'm faking it this whole way.
Yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't drunk 24 hours a day.
Have you ever seen
maybe more like 19.
Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra's hamburger recipe, since we're talking about burgers?
No, but I'll tell you this.
It's fantastic.
If you ever watch those, so charming, the Rat Pack and everything. Go back and watch their live act. Pretty racist. All right. Pretty outrageous.
And Sammy was there for all of it.
For Sammy. Well, that's
just going to stand by Sammy, not say anything?
All right. Different times.
I guess
say.
It was.
But anyway, this was a good time, is what I'll call this
there
one.
There we go.
Don't miss our video show Thursday, this day, and every day going forward, all through the 2019 NFL season. It's back, Cole Wright. I'm glad that you made your way over here today.
Anytime,
great pleasure to see you in Studio 66. Good stuff from you, Eddie Spaghetti. Go back and listen to the Joe Manganiello episode from earlier in the week. It was really fun stuff hearing about his career and his love of pro football and the Pittsburgh Steelers specifically. And in fact, go back before you get too full in the swing. If you're sitting on the beach, lots of good stuff there with Spencer Paysinger and Nate Bargazzi and who else? You can play the end music. It doesn't mean I'm done.
Steve Byrne comes to mind. We had recently.
Steve Byrne was great.
Really good episode.
Wonderful comedian. Who else? What were your favorite episodes of the offseason?
I was just going through them because we have a lot of people that were up for the best.
John Gonzalez, Mr. Wolf, a.k.a. Colleen's husband.
John Gone.
Yeah, that was a great episode. We had a lot of fun talking to him. Way back, speaking of Colleen Wolf, me, Colleen, and Maurice went to South by Southwest. That was a great off-season episode.
Thanks for the invite, dude.
We only had so much room in the car.
We had USC's Jake Olson and Ross Tucker
Jake
was
Olson
here.
Jake Olson was awesome. Yes. Ross was a lot of fun, as always.
People loved the
Olson episode.
Bald Brian stopped by.
Bald Brian with a movie preview. Now it would be a movie review. That was always a visit. we'll have him back sometime
phone
soon.
Calls from we had Evan Ingram call in recently, so we've had a lot
singing
of
singing songs about Daniel Jones and how great he looks. So yes, if you are interested in going back and you're just rejoining the football swing of things and podcasts and so on, we encourage you, Nate DeBand, you go back and listen to those. And of course, make sure you subscribe, tell your friends and everybody else to
start the music again.
Now you should start it. Thank you. Yeah, right.
It'll only be right.
Don't worry, everybody. Now baseball is just mere sideshow. Time to start talking football. I'm sorry, Cole Wright.
I don't know. Yankees.
I work here
good.
Full-time
Cubs,
NFL
Yanks.
Network. What are you talking about?
Yankees-Dodgers. It's going to be Yankees-Dodgers.
Oh, Yankees. Are you going to that?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the World Series?
No, I'll start the music again. There's weekend series in August. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. A preview of
I already have Saturday tickets, but the prices dropped like in half, so I'm definitely going to go to the Friday and Sunday.
I go for free.
I know you do. I'll be eating wieners in the outfield.
I'll be sitting between Tommy and Dave.
Right. David Feeney and I, David Feeney, of course, of Dave's of Thunder, which, by the way, people keep asking me, where is it? We're making the transition right now, so that's the holdup. No dire...
I'm still waiting for my invite to that, just like South by Southwest, Dave.
I don't know about that one. But the we just don't have guests, right?
No guests on that one?
He's not really lying. No guests.
We just don't have very many guests. Yeah.
All right. So.
We've had like
Dave's polite way of telling me no thanks. Thanks,
well,
but no thanks.
We've had like a psychiatrist come in and try and heal the staff, but we don't have people in to hear their story or anything.
All right.
The whole show is about us. It's not about anybody
else.
Vain.
You always allude to how vain you are.
He's a narcissist. Yes. I'm vain.
Okay.
And we meet in the middle.
But aren't narcissists vain as well, though? Isn't that...
No, that's a common problem. Vain.
Vanity and narcissism,
as I always say,
thing?
I am not a narcissist. I'm vain. And it's my vanity that requires your attention. I don't expect that you pay attention to what I have to say.
Okay.
I just want you to.
Okay.
I just would like a world there where people look at me, whereas narcissists, the world already is revolving around them. You see the distinction?
Okay. I think I do. Can there be a vain narcissist, though? I mean, you can be both.
I guess that's possible. Okay. I guess that could happen. Anywho, all right, play the music now.
All right. For the third time.
Let's do it. There it is.
Like
all right,
that.
I'm going to go do 2,000 revolutions on the jump rope and some squats.
You can up the ante. Push yourself. Train like a professional athlete. Dress for the job that you want,
Dave. You see the problem
with
that. The other side of that coin is train like a pro athlete, but if you're a pot-belly schnook like me, you drop dead. Hey, we'll pick that up next week. Until then, thin slice of heaven.